Business owners like you should have a strategy that empowers your team, giving you time to focus on what matters most.
And we understand the challenges of leading and building a high-achieving team, which is why we created Babylon, a system that helps businesses increase revenue, build a healthy culture, and create accountability throughout the organization.
Babylon.
Episode 22. What are we talking about today?
Golf season.
Golf season.
It's golf season. We got to bring up golf and we got to incorporate it into the podcast.
Absolutely. We've heard a lot of DMs about this topic. It is golf season and a lot of you are sponsoring golf events. Mm-hmm. And the question comes up to you, question comes up to me, what do I do?
Yeah, in the last week alone, we've had three different insurance agents from across the country reach out and say, I'm sponsoring an event or I'm sponsoring a hole and I really don't know what to do. Like, can you give me ideas?
Yeah.
And after a couple of conversations, you're like, wow, this is something that, you know, a lot of people probably have to deal with out there.
There's a lot of, almost every Monday, our golf course, Framingham Country Club, is shut down for a golf tournament.
Yep.
So there's tons of opportunities in your niche. And it doesn't matter, like we said before, if you're pediatricians, real estate, financial advising, local town, whatever, everybody has a golf tournament. It seems like everybody's always asking you for money and how to do it. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna go through in this episode how to correctly, with a Babylon way, get involved in a golf tournament.
We see a lot of mistakes being made in this specific realm, in this area. So, you know, avoiding those mistakes is a huge win, but capitalizing on the opportunity, if you're asked to by some other association or group to sponsor, is really important.
Yeah, man.
We'll touch on that.
Yep. All right, Manny, your best personal moment.
Personal best from the last week. So Sadie and I, we're into our different shows. Like a lot of people, we have specific shows that we enjoy watching. And we were both on Game of Thrones kick for a while. And, you know, leading up to that finale was a big, big moment. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of took a lull and stopped watching a lot of television. But recently we got into I think it's called The Great British Baking Show. Mm. But it's basically, think any Food Network show. But it's like much more raw. It's much more like normal. People are just being themselves. There's no like built up drama around it, which is kind of cool. It's just these two really good judges, and they're just judging these, I don't know, 8 to 10 different bakers that are just normal people.
Home bakers.
Yeah, they're not professionals. Wow. Now, some of them are better than others because of experience, but they're not professionals. They're home bakers. And so they all come in, and every single week they do three different bakes, two that they plan for, one that they're called the technical one, and they don't plan for it. And so every week they eliminate the worst baker, gets down to the finale. So this weekend was the finale, and we watched, and the person who I had called from the very beginning won. And it was a fun moment, fun time.
That's awesome.
Good, like, real life drama.
I like it. So give us your best British accent.
Oh, I can't do a British accent. I can't do accents, period. And if I did it, it would come out a different language. Three people would be offended. It just wouldn't work well.
So what? What's a bit? Is it like a cake? What is it?
Every week's different. Every week's different. So some weeks it's like
Is it like a whole meal or is it like a thing?
No, just a thing. Yeah. Specific pastries, different breads and loaves based off of different types of flour. Huh. Some gluten-free, some not. There's always like a classical bake that they can plan for. It's signature, I think they call it, signature bake. And then there's one that's called technical challenge. They don't know it's coming. They just have literally the ingredients and the recipe and they have to do it. And hopefully they know how to do it.
So are the judges like famous chefs or is it more like celebrities?
I've only watched one season. So these two people supposedly are like famous bakers over in England, and they are also really like, I think they're professional judges.
Got it. So they got the humor to the episodes and the seriousness and.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is the judges aren't humorous at all. Like in some of the Food Network shows, like obviously the judges kind of get theatrical. They try to make light of things. They joke around.
Like Guy Fieri.
Yeah. These two they could not be more serious.
Huh.
They're so serious, so particular about their craft. Then there's two other hosts. There's like a duo, female host, and they're the comedic relief.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense. Does Sadie bake?
Sadie's a really good baker.
Yeah.
We just don't bake a lot because it's just
That's not what you guys eat.
Not too healthy.
Yeah, not what you guys eat.
But if we were to eat something, she'd probably bake it. It's fun watching because like the stuff that they make, it's just so out there.
Yeah,
you know,
I get
it's so
that.
Crazy out there, and it's interesting to see how you make stuff from scratch. Mm. But also just the different personalities from just home bakers across the countryside. It's
cool. Pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah. What about your personal best?
So my personal best, KG and I had to drive 6 hours Saturday morning to a wedding in upstate New York and drive 6 hours Sunday morning back. And I looked at the wedding, I was excited about the wedding, and I looked at the drive a little bit of like, oh no, like this is gonna be awful. But it actually was great. 6 hours there, 6 hours back, we actually just talked. And like one of the KG's and I's favorite things to talk about is marketing. That's just what we do. And we put on a good book that we kind of listened to on Audible, and we kind of chatted about theory, a lot of it. And then other times we chatted about, you know, just like general stuff we don't get to chat about often. His kids are always running around. I feel like we have like conversations in like 37 second spurts at home. So like actually just having time to chat was actually.
Cause it was San's kids, right?
Yeah, San's kids. Yeah, I should add that in, good point. They were being watched by my mom. And they had a blast. But we actually just got to just kick it. It was actually really fun.
That's cool. What book was it?
This is Marketing by Seth Godin. Yeah. We listened to it on Audible. It's just a great book. But we actually just got to like, so when you have two kids, obviously, or one kid or a dog, doesn't matter. When you're traveling with someone, you can't really stop too much because it takes a lot to like get unloaded, reload, get back in. 6 hour drive, we stopped 4 times on the way up, and we actually only stopped for like 4 to 6 minutes each time. It's like, all right, go get a water, get a coffee. Okay, use the restroom real quick, go back in.
Yeah.
When you have two kids, like a stop is 35 minutes.
It's an ordeal.
Yeah, so it would have taken us like 8.5 hours, but we had a great time. Actually, it was actually really fun.
And the wedding was a blast.
Wedding was great too. Yeah, wedding was great. Outside in a field, it was perfect. It was actually, but we felt rest. I haven't felt rested after a 6 hour drive ever.
Yeah.
But we were actually joking. That like driving 6 hours to an open field was just crazy because for 6 hours when you drive up to New York, it's all open field.
Yeah.
So by the time you get there, you're like, thank God I get to use one of these.
Yeah.
So I've driven by 6 hours of these open fields, but it was tons of fun. We had a great time.
You didn't tell the bride, like, by the way, there was a bunch of like really nice open fields an hour from my house?
Could have gone a lot closer that way. Yeah. No, I didn't do that.
But you wouldn't have gotten through most of Godin's book.
No.
So
yeah, it was actually a great book. Great book. All right, so golf season. We both enjoy golf, which, again, we always like to talk about what we've done. We're not going to talk about theory or motivation. We're really going to be focusing on tactical proven strategies. And golf, you and I both love. We both like to do in our free time. And therefore, we have a lot of empathy for the people who are in the golf booths because we've been there before. And so many times we've just put our head down and be like, I don't want to go near that booth, right? And you see these people with their stations and with their stuff. And we want to go through what you shouldn't do if you're sponsoring an event. And then the people who have done it really well, including insurance agents, what they've done to make us walk up to that booth and say, what are you up to?
I mean, I think it's if it's golf season, you're either playing in a league. If you play golf, you're playing in a league, you're playing with friends, by yourself, you're playing with business partners or referral partners if you're using it for, or you're going to tournaments. And
sure.
These tournaments, as you know, like, and you've been involved in some boards of setting them up, it's a lot of work.
Tons.
And the people who are setting it up, who are organizing it, like, they're desperate for sponsors. So they're reaching out, like, anyone and everyone saying, can you sponsor the hole? It's $2,500, it's $500, whatever.
Yeah.
And they desperately just need the cash to finance the actual event.
Sure.
And it's gonna be common if you play golf and you're in the networking world and you're, you know, to be asked this question, can you sponsor?
Yeah.
That's why I think we hear it a lot this time of year. So it's like, we've seen it done wrong so many times when people sponsor events. Maybe we could go through right now a couple of those failures.
Yeah, I think when we take a look at, so what we're gonna be going through is not necessarily just donating money. It's like, you shouldn't just donate money. And I guess that's the first one that we talk about. Don't just donate money and then not show, or put your name in a pamphlet, or put your name in the back of a scorecard, or, you know, that doesn't work. And it's the same thing we always talk about in other ways. don't donate to an event that, one, you don't care about, two, you don't have the capacity to show up, like the right person can't be there, or three, is not in your niche.
Yeah, and we talked about, we had one podcast where we specifically talked about, like, if someone's asking you to sponsor something, right, how not to do it and how to do it. And one, how to do it, basically, bottom line is show up and get value out of it. Show up, give value, and get value.
Exactly.
And so many of these tournaments, you know, we go from hole to hole, there's no one there, and all you can see is a sign with a logo. A sign with a logo.
Well, the sign doesn't help because there's no call to action, right? You can't gather anything. It's just your freaking logo.
It's a law firm. It's a bank. It's a real estate company. It's an insurance company. Like, and everyone who's playing, they see that. They don't even register. And if they do, they think, what a sucker. Yeah. They probably dropped $1,000 for this sign.
Stupid. I've never, like, gone to a golf hole and be like, oh, thank God, like, Robert Smith Law Firm listed his phone number on this sign. I've been looking for it and, like, written it down on my phone.
Right.
It's just useless, right?
I can't imagine you doing that. Yeah. Oh, thank God. I need a personal injury lawyer.
Yeah, right? All right, so that's number one. Other thing we see is, like, if you now let's assume you're going to be there.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're already in the top 10% if you're going to be there.
Yeah, I think a lot of people ask for sponsored holes. Like, hey, can you sponsor this hole? It's going to be X amount of money, or can you get involved? And a lot of people either say yes or no, and that's where it ends.
Yes.
But if you say yes, it's if I can be there.
Agreed.
But like, if the organizer isn't even going to allow you to sit in the hole and spend time engaging with the participants, then it's really not a good use of your time or money.
No.
Like, you need to be there. And this is this next section you just prefaced. It's like the 10% or so that say, sure, I'll help, but let me be there. Let me be engaged. Let me participate in some way. And they set up a booth of some sort at a hole.
Yeah. And then the fail is when they bring lots of stuff to just give to these golfers. Mm-hmm. We need to remember that these golfers have a golf cart. Therefore, they do have a vehicle to put your stuff you're giving, I'm trying to be as PC way, your stuff you're giving in there, but they're going to leave it there.
Right.
Like pens, pamphlets,
calendars, koozies. Like, business cards, God forbid.
No.
You know, maybe a ball marker, you know, whatever it might be. And even if it's golf related stuff, it's not, there's no association between you, the sponsor, and the actual article that you're giving them or the tool you're giving them.
It's totally useless. It's totally, you do not need a pen on a golf course, right? You don't really need a koozie.
And then it doesn't create any type of next step. It doesn't create any like, hey, I just got this ball, logo ball from somebody, so now I'm going to be more apt to call them afterwards and refer business.
No, it's awful.
It's just not going to happen.
No, and also the way they phrase it a lot of times, which we talked about before, is like, oh, take some stuff, like, but just take some stuff. It's like,
yeah, I got to get rid of this. Yeah. I've got a ton of extra.
Oh my, that's the worst, actually. When they have a booth and they say, I can't go home with any of this. It's like, what? I have to now?
I'm your trash disposal.
Oh my God, you can't go home, so I better throw it in my car. it's so bad. But this is what we hear over and over and over and over till the end of time.
Yeah, giveaways in general. Giveaways, leave behinds, anything that... that's especially if it's related to your business. Mm. Like, there's such a disconnect, right, between someone who's enjoying golf and getting out there with their friends or having fun for a charity, and then all of a sudden they get hit at this hole with an insurance agent or whomever who's giving you stuff that's related to their business. It's just such a disconnect and so tacky.
Mm-mm. All right, so let's make this golf experience great. Mm. So now we've already agreed we're going to be sponsoring the hole, and we're going to be there.
We have
and
to be there.
The other great thing about being there is you're going to be there and a sign's going to be next to you of the idiot who just left a sign next to you.
Yeah.
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 So you're already going to be a leg up, right? And when we were brainstorming going through this, you had a great idea about a game. So tell me about this theory about what we do with the game.
Well, so you want to be memorable.
Yeah.
And that's the main thing, because you're not going to try to secure relationships in the moment. You're trying to gather all the information, contact information for the participants there, assuming these are people that could become referral partners of yours down the road, so that you can follow up with them afterwards. But you don't want to be talking about business. You don't want to be spreading any or spewing anything about your industry or like, hey, let's get a coffee afterwards. None of that. So how do we entice them to give us their information and be excited about giving us their information? And we've done this before and we've seen this done successfully, but just set up a simple game. And you know, one idea that we came up with is they're gonna be coming, you're gonna be at the tee box, and so they're probably gonna have a driver or a three wood or some fairway wood, maybe a long iron or whatever, but what can you do? Well, you maybe set up like a little bit of a game where you have a circular, maybe a hula hoop or like a rope or whatever. Create a circle.
You're a big hula hoop guy.
A big hula hoop guy, yeah. And that's the first thing that came to my mind, right? Like you're going to have one in the back of the golf cart. But set up a circle of some sort. Yeah. And from like 10 or 15, 15, 20 feet away, everyone putts one ball to try to get the ball in the circle. Now, whether they get it in the circle or not, they have to give you their name, number, and email, because they're gonna automatically be entered into a raffle to win something, some custom gift,
bingo,
right? But if they get it in the circle, they get their name entered five times. So they have a 5x chance of winning said gift.
Yeah.
So it gamifies the experience a little
bit.
So
you make a raffle out of the game, basically, yeah, right? And a key component of what you just said, and again, do not ask for the person's business card. No one carries business cards when they golf.
Right.
And if they do, you don't want to talk to them. No,
these aren't the follow-up meetings you want
to
have.
No, you need, there's a lot of different ways to get, there's probably apps out there that we don't know about how to collect information and what have you. You can just simply grab phone numbers and put it in a sheet. You can have a sign-in. You could do it however you want. But the key component of what you said is gamify the experience. Have some kind of win off of it, whether it's golf balls, whatever. You decide that. You customize the win on the niche that you're serving.
Mm-hmm.
But you gamify the experience. You get all the data.
Yeah, and they want to give you their information because
absolutely,
they know that whether they win this game or not, they're being entered into the raffle.
Yes.
And most, like, there isn't a lot of this out there, like
no,
these golf tournaments. A lot of people do set up booths. Maybe they're giving out some stuff, whatever. Those that do have these games are typically like, if you land the ball, give us $10, and if you land it on the green, you get entered in for a raffle. No, well, you can do that, but what if they don't land on the green? They've wasted $10 and
yeah,
they don't, you know, it does. So
do something on the tee box, but it doesn't require them to leave.
And it takes 10 seconds,
yeah,
but they want to give you their information because they're automatically going to be into the raffle whether they win the game or not.
Yeah.
But if they win the game, at least they have a better chance of winning the raffle. And
yeah,
and we talked about this, like the raffle gift can be
small.
It can be small.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be big. That's
no,
not the point. Everyone there is competitive. They want to win.
There's so much data out there that says that you'll give up your information for $10.
$10,
yeah. So like just make it a $10 thing. Grab someone's email address only if you want. Grab their phone number only if you want. That's for you to figure out in your data system. But just make it super simple.
Yeah.
Like, make this easy. Let them hit their golf shot quickly.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
don't
yeah,
make
yeah,
this
yeah,
a
yeah,
big deal.
Yeah, this
right,
needs to take 1 minute or less
yeah,
for all four combined golfers.
Yeah.
Like, click, 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 done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get their phone number. I think phone number is probably the best because nowadays, like, texting, calling is probably
yeah,
better than email anyways.
I love that.
And then maybe give away, like, a sleeve of balls, a Pro V1s. Like,
simple.
You don't even need to go to the whole box thing. And if you want to pick four winners, now you have a box, get four sleeves. Like,
everyone's a winner.
Yeah.
Cares.
Great, awesome. The
yeah,
point is you have their information.
That's it. Then you get everyone's information without asking the host.
And you set the expectation, I will call you to let you know if you won or not.
Bingo. Yeah, and so you're already setting it up. There's the other side of this, so that's a really fun way to do it and gamify the experience. You also need to understand who is going to be there. If this is a little bit of a rowdier crowd, like let's say it's more of a networking kind of organization, not necessarily just like pediatricians,
mm-hmm,
per se.
Pediasure.com.
Pediasure.com, that's still bidding. Matt and I, you and I really like doing like just some music and beers. Like,
mm-hmm,
getting a table on a tee box, blasting some Bob Marley, and putting a cooler full of beers or Gatorades,
or water,
whatever you
whatever,
want.
Yeah, assortment.
Assortment
get
of stuff. That
choice,
way you don't necessarily have to drink, but you're clearly saying, you know what? We are at a golf tournament. We're going to have fun. And you know what? If you want a beer, like, I'm just going to give it to you. I'm going to have some music. Be memorable. And then, yes, ask for all the data. But you're gonna leave with give first.
Yeah.
You're gonna leave
yeah,
with like, we're just gonna have a fun time here. Hey, take a beer. Hey, you took a beer. Do you mind if I just get your email address? Like, I wanna follow up with you just really quickly. Like, this is how we operate our business over here. I'm just having fun.
If anyone ever is playing Bob Marley
yeah,
and they're offering me a free beer, especially if it's like a fun local beer or something, mm-hmm, I will gladly give you my information. I'll give you three people's information. That's such a cool thing to do, right? It's such a nice thing. I'll give you Zach's information for sure.
That's fine.
But and I'll actually, you know what? I'll be really receptive when you call.
Yeah.
I'll listen to you. I might not, you know, we might not have an affinity. There might be a need to meet, but I'll certainly listen to you. I'll remember that you gave me that beer. I'll remember the music was playing, and we had a fun little game for 60 seconds.
And you're setting the tone for doing business with you.
Right.
You're setting the tone that I'm not going to always be serious. I'm serious about my business, but this is a golf tournament.
Yeah.
Like, you're probably in ridiculous colored clothes. That's what golfers do.
Yeah.
Like, we know so many people who dress like clowns on the golf course. Like, this is just what you do. Let's just have fun.
And your mind is, the golfer's minds, you have to remember, as a sponsor, are focused on the last putt they just missed, or like the birdie they just made, or like worrying about the long drive they're about to hit.
Or they're totally out of the tournament and they're half in the bag. So, that moves
on. Like, business is not on their mind. They want to have fun. They want to have, you know. So give them a game, give them a beer, play some music, whatever. Offer free give. That first impression is going to be pretty powerful, and it's going to convert into a higher ratio of post-event follow-up. Post-event, you know, follow-up, which is really going to generate, which we'll talk about now, but generating the meeting.
And that's the last step. So we've talked about what not to do. We've talked about the creative ideas of the tee box, which is totally differentiate yourself. So take one step back. We went from donating money and getting your sign, maybe with your number, probably not, on the tee box,
right?
Just your logo. And then you're depending on some guy or girl to set it up for you. Like, the whole thing.
God forbid it's a windy day and your sign ends up face down.
The whole thing's terrible. To having a booth, either having gamifying the experience or having a really just a fun time overall. Both are going to be fun. Now we're going to talk about what do you do after. You've gotten all this data because you've done it correctly, right? So you've gotten, let's say, the phone number, like you said. Mm-hmm. How would you start engaging after? How do you do that?
Well, I think, you know, since we set the expectation in the moment that, by the way, really casually, hey, thanks for playing. I'll enter your name in once or five times because you just got in the circle. I'll follow up with you in the next week to let you know that if you won or not, you know, to let you know what the results are. You've already given yourself permission to call them. And that's the best thing. The next step is to call. You don't text, you don't email, you just call them. You have their phone number, you have their name, you just call them. And hey, Jim, thanks so much for coming by. Hope you had a great time. How'd your team end up doing? Awesome. Well, I just want to let you know, I told you I'd follow up. Unfortunately, you didn't win, but I still want to come to the table with something. I'd love to take you out for drinks or take you out for a lunch or coffee. I'd love to get to know you.
Absolutely.
So you combine the two. It's like, great if you won, but let's just assume most of these calls, they didn't win. You've only won a winner.
Sure.
Well, hey, like, you didn't win, but I still want to treat you. I still want to lead with give even more.
I love that.
You know, and then you secure a meeting. You secure a coffee right there. You don't say, hey, I'm going to send an email and follow up with you. Hey, look at your calendar and let me know the times down the road. It's just right there. Like, hey, I got next Tuesday morning open.
Simple.
Good for a coffee.
Super simple. You've already got permission, and now just go, right? Just go do. And that's why, like you said, getting the phone number is so much better than the email, because that email, I'm not 100% sure I'm going to reply to. The phone number, I'm at least going to hear your tone, your voice. I might just call you back.
Yeah.
You know, I might do it.
Well, there's a good chance that email will come through. You'll see it. You'll think, all right, I'm going to leave it there. But I don't have time to reply to it right now. I'm going to leave it there. Then in 2 weeks, when you finally get through that like to-do list of getting through all your email, you get back to you like, wow, it's been way too long. This is awkward. I'm going to delete it.
And you also had an idea about doing some kind of video or photo when you touch on that.
Yeah. So, you know, it's definitely a good idea if you're going to do this to capture as much content as possible during the event, you know, because this is an opportunity for you to showcase that you're involved in the community, the niche that you're focused on, the networking, you know, that you're out there, that you're active, that you're, you know, engaging, you're giving. So taking pictures and videos during the event are awesome. But what's worked for us really well in the past when we have raffles is whoever the raffle winner is, we make a big deal about it. We do a quick video of us, you know, buy one of those $20 circular sort of like lottery ball, like the bingo thing or whatever when they do the lottery drawings, and pull
big,
it out, make
big
it,
lotto guy,
big lotto. You can tell I'm like really up to my lotto vernacular, but you know, take out your to make a fun experience around it, and like create a quick video. And you know, if it was you and I, we'd just have a quick video. We make we make a couple jokes. We pull it out. We'd announce the winner. We'd tag them in the video. We'd share what they're getting, and we thank everybody for coming.
It works super well. I think the other idea I had in my head while we were going through this and thinking about it was you have a chance to really differentiate yourself and be a top 1%er here. And I like the idea of putting a notepad on the table while you have this experience and writing down details of each person's shot. So again, you're taking the data, you like Jim Smith, here's my number, I'm gonna putt, great, I didn't win or didn't win, who cares. Then he hooks the ball left off the tee. Let's just say it's an awful shot or a great shot, just write it down. And when you call this person back, you can reference that you actually have notes. You'd be like, Jim, it's Matt Namoli here. Just want to let you know that shot was terrible on six. Hope the rest of the day went better. Hey, you know why I'm calling? You go into it. Like that, it's a worst case scenario if you get an email, at least it's like personal. Phone call, 10 times better, but nobody's doing that. Nobody's going that extra mile to actually write down the details of the person they met. They're just almost auto dialing after this, right? And just saying, trying to set up lines. Take a little time, write the notes down.
Yeah, we've always looked at this as like, let's say the event had 80 people and you collected 30 people's names and you were able to connect with 10 of them on phone via phone, and one of them you were able to set up a meeting with and it went awesome. That's a huge win.
Monster.
You went vertical enough, you went deep enough with 10 people and you were able to secure one meeting and one new referral partner from this experience and get some video to put on social and get some, you know, some goodwill out there and get a show that you're very much engaged in your niche. It's all a win.
I agree. All right, so speaking personally for golf before we wrap this up, if you had to rank your favorite part of the game, not necessarily what you're best at, favorite part of the game, driving, long irons, approach, or putting, what would you say? Like when you get up, what's your favorite thing to do?
Yeah. You know, I'm gonna go with D, none of the above, and go chipping.
So around the green work.
Yeah, around the green. I just think that it's really challenging and deeper into the season.
Actually, you'd have to A, B, C, D. It would be E.
Yeah, I know. It's okay. They're not paying attention at this point.
Come on!
The number of letters, yeah. Like A, B, C, they're not going to follow that.
Everybody DM Matt the letter E if you're listening right now.
No, I think chipping, I think like the finesse, the different types of chips, the finesse. I mean, I'm not the best in the world. I'm not the worst of the world, but it's
but you
it's,
have fun with it.
It's fun with it. You can get kind of, you know, really like finessey. You can get kind of deliberate with the backspin. You can kind of, it's a big part of the game, totally. You know, that people don't recognize, you know, don't understand how important it is. And if it's a nice shot and you leave it with like a tap in par or something, it's gonna save the day.
Oh yeah.
What about you?
Putting gets my most attention. I think even if it's a good hole, bad hole, I love putting. I don't know why. I think like walking around the green, just kind of like looking at the undulation, trying to figure it out. And then I think, It doesn't matter like how big you are, how strong you are, how good of a golfer you are, what your club set is. All putters are relatively the same. You can be a good putter or a bad putter, but I think it's more just about like just taking your time and just thinking about it and going about it. Something about putting just grabs my attention.
It's also the most important part of the game.
It feels like it. Yeah. And so to me, I enjoy it the most.
If you look at your total score at the end of the day, and you look at total number of putts, like it makes up a huge percentage of your overall game.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like you said, with chipping, it's very not practiced.
And when we take, I mean, when we play at Framingham, like we take our driver maybe three or four times all day. Mm. But you have your putter three or four strokes sometimes on one hole.
Like yeah, hopefully not. Yeah.
It's a bad day if that's the case.
No, but you're right.
Even if you're off the green sometimes, it's easier too. So hey, for you guys listening, next time, our ask for you guys, if you're asked to sponsor a hole in the next 2 months, come back and say we'd love to do so, but we want to get engaged and involved. And we think we can bring a lot more value than just a sign and some donation of money. Get involved. Make sure that you come with this strategy, you lead with give, you make it a fun time, you create a game, you gather information, you follow up the right way.
Totally.
And you invite us.
Or at least send us a picture.
I want the invitation.
Invite us if you're going to do the Bob Marley music and the beers.
All right.
22.
Follow up.